Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. I appreciated the service so far. We do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, we have a high priest, saying in the positive way, that can be touched with the things that you and I are facing, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional. He identifies with us because he's our papa, he's our father, and we can cry, daddy, father, papa, father. It's such a beautiful thing. And isn't Jesus such a good example of being our father, a caring, all-knowing? He's not only willing, but he's also able to help us through any situation that we face in our lives. There isn't anything that I can think of that Jesus is not able to carry us through. He might not calm the storm, but he's able to take us through the storm. I thank God for that this morning. Well, this is Father's Day. It's a special day. And this morning we're going to talk about fatherhood and the duties of the fathers and also the children. And I'd just like to take some time this morning to have you all bless your dad. Someone has said any man can be a father, but it takes a special person to be a daddy. And that's true. Our daddies are special to us. We have a lot of fathers. Fathers, stand. Let's see how many fathers we have. If you're a father here, I want you to stand this morning. All right, well, 25 or 26, you may be seated. I thought about having you all stand up here and then have your children speak blessings to you. But I won't do that. But I do want to, children, could you take time to bless your dad? Or maybe you just have one word that describes your dad. Or maybe you want to just say some things that you really like about your dad. And I'm going to open it up this morning. And you don't have to be just a little guy. You can be like my age too, to bless your dad. My dad isn't here on this earth anymore, but I bless my dad. And I had a godly father. And if you're here this morning, children, if you're here this morning, youth, any of us, adults, and you have a godly dad, you are in the slim minority of the population in this world. You know that? Do you realize how blessed you are this morning? Because if you have a godly dad. And also I realize there's children here this morning that don't have an earthly father. And our heart goes out to you, and may God be very near to you and the widows among us. I do realize that, and that's difficult for you all. But may our true Heavenly Father and Jesus Himself comfort you and be a daddy to you and be a father to you. So we do recognize that this morning as well. So children, anyone, if you have a dad and you like to bless your dad, especially if your dad is here this morning, I want you to just, could you bless your dad this morning? I know you didn't have time to think about it, but it shouldn't take a lot of thought about blessing your dad. At least some good that your dad does for you. I'm opening it up. Who wants to be first? Little children up to big children like me. Yes, Mackenzie.
I just wanted to bless my dad for being such a wonderful dad, and I just want to say I love him like crazy, and out of love, I would be nothing without him, and he's put a lot of good in my life, and he's taught me a lot about honoring, and he does a very good job raising teenagers, and he does a very good job being a dad, so I just wanted to bless.
Amen. Thank you, Mackenzie. You feel loved and secure, don't you, in your dad's protection and yeah, who he is. Thank you for sharing, blessing your dad. Anyone else? Who'll be next? Quickly. We want to take about 5 or 10 minutes here.
I just want to say thank you, Dad, for being my dad.
Amen. Makes us dads feel good when our children bless us, doesn't it? That's something that God put in us as dads. We like to hear that. Amen. Yeah, maybe we'll use the mic. If you want to bless your dad, that way everybody can hear and people listening and can also hear. Nate.
Thank you, Dad, for leading us, leading the home, teaching us to love God. It does mean a lot, and I will never be able to repay you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, my father isn't living anymore. He's been gone for more than 20 years. But I do appreciate the things that my father taught us and the things that he stood for. There was a time when I was much younger, I didn't always appreciate some of the things that my father had said or shared or taught us. But as I got older, I learned to appreciate them and saw the wisdom that he had. And I'm so grateful for the heritage that we have in a godly home. We Amen. Are certainly a minority. May God help us to walk faithfully with Him. Mm-hmm. And I just so appreciate my father. Yes. I'm glad I had the privilege to thank him before he left this life. Mm-hmm.
Amen, Roy. I had the same experience when my dad was on his deathbed. Their children were around his bed when he was dying, and we blessed him, and we thanked him. That was a very precious time. Yes, Clarence.
I also want to bless my dad this morning. I called him last night and had a nice visit with him. And what I told my wife later, what I'm feeling from my dad is every conversation lately is he just wants to be closer to Jesus and to be with him. So that's his longing. He has a birthday next month, and he's 89. And he's working every day by himself. Thank you.
Okay, let's open it to the children. I'd like to hear from 6, 7, 8, 10, 12-year-olds, okay? Maybe you want to be specific. Say, I like with my daddy, and then fill in the blank. Or I like my daddy because, yeah. Or maybe that's too hard. But, yeah, let's have the children. Your dad would love it if you would say something. Teenagers, anyone.
Yeah. I like my dad because he always takes time for us, and he's always ready to give us, like, a conversation or anything.
Okay, that was Jemima. Okay. Good. Thank you. Yes, another one.
I just like my dad because he always gives us fishing and going out for supper and... Right.
Awesome. Yeah. Andrew over here.
Thank you, Daddy, for everything you do for me and taking me to work. I'm proud to be your son, and I love you. Happy Father's Day.
Amen. Yeah. Micah.
I want to bless you, Daddy, for taking time to play games with me and take me hunting and teaching me about Jesus.
Amen. Five more minutes. Anyone? Bless your dad. Yes.
Yeah, my dad's not here, but in our relationship hasn't always been very smooth. It's been a bit rocky over the years, but I cannot deny the fact that he made some very hard, important decisions when I was an early teen, and that has greatly impacted my life. So I just want to bless him this morning for following God's call.
Yeah, I just want to bless my dad for all he's done for me. Being a father now myself and knowing the love I have for my son and realizing I was a recipient of that 20-some years ago now when I first started out. I want you to know, Dad, I really do appreciate all you've given me. I consider it a great privilege to be able to continue working with you and for all that you still give me on a daily basis. So thanks a lot, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jaron.
Well, I like my dad because he always takes the time to tell me stories, and I like him. He always takes me out for dinner, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the Raver family has the most blessings going to John. John, you're doing something right. Praise God.
I like my dad because he plays ball with me and he does activities with me mm-hmm. when I want to.
Like going camping, right? We'll be going camping with Marcus's here, leaving after church with our one of our daughters and their family. Yep.
So my children are too little to say this yet, but I just wanted to say that they have an amazing dad. I think it's really sweet that their dad is the kind who doesn't raise his voice. And I know you take a lot of time to do things with the kids, so I just want to bless you for that. I know they really, really enjoyed that bike ride last night.
Good. Okay, that's fine. I think we'll move on. Just one saying that I come across the other day, and I thought about family life, I thought about dads, I thought about even our relationships in our church. This is it. They may forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Isn't that true? Fathers, they may forget what you said to your children, what you say to your children, but your children will never forget how you make them feel. That's true. How are you making your children feel? Just a challenge. Think about that. Here, the first phase of this message, we want to talk about the duties of the children. Children, and I want you to answer these questions. What is your duty to your father as a child? What are you supposed to do? The Bible says we're to honor our dad. Honor your father and your mother. How do you honor your father and your mother? But particularly now, your dad. Adolescents, teenagers, anyone, how do you honor your dad? Honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. How do you do that? List at least three things that you can do that your dad would be communicating honor. Honor means to respect, to revere, to hold in high esteem. That's what honor means. To hold up and to really treasure. So what would you do, children, to honor your dad? Just blurt it out. Anything that you can do to honor your dad, children? Yes. Obey. Children, obey your parents. Your dad feels very honored, children, when you obey them. And that's a Bible commandment. Yes, Alex. Huh? Be close to him. Oh, be good to him. Be good to him. Yeah, you could rub his back. You can, if he's sitting in his easy chair in the evening and your dad is thirsty, you could offer him a drink of water. That's being good to your dad. Yeah. Yes. Be nice. Oh, honest. Yes. Honest. Always tell the truth. That's very honoring to your dad. When your dad asks you a question about something you did, you're honest. That is very honoring. And when we honor our dads, we honor who? God. What else can you do? These are very good. Yes. Respect him. So, okay, when we respect your dad, how do we respect? How do we show respect to our dads? Should I tell you one way? Suppose you have a decision to make, and you're wondering, should I do this or should I do this? You're not sure how to do it, which would be the best way. So you go to your daddy and you say, Dad, what do you think? Should I be doing this or this? Now you're coming to your dad and you're asking for his advice. That is honoring him. And your dad would be delighted to tell you how what he thinks and many lessons he's learned in his life and get his and value his opinions and his decision and his counsel. That is respecting. That is very good. Being respectful. Honoring your dad. Obey. Value his counsel. There's two other ones, at least one other one, that you can do that he would feel very honored. You can pray for him. You know, we hear the saying that a family that prays together stays together. And I just want to lift that up this morning. That's the duty of the dad to see that's done. But children, teenagers, and us as adults, pray for your parents in their presence, audibly, like in family devotions and the end of your, I don't know how you conduct your devotions, but you have a time of prayer. Maybe the children have a time where they can pray. Pray for your dad. That will bless his heart. Pray him, thank the Lord for him. Ask God to bless him, that he would be a good leader and a protector in your home, that God would give him wisdom. That is really honoring your dad. Yeah, your dad will feel very blessed to have a child that would ask God's blessing on him. So pray for your dad. So you're going to obey him. You're going to value his opinions. You're going to ask for advice from your dad. And you can thank him. I think that was already mentioned. Thank your dad for all that he's done. You know, your dad works hard all day long. He goes out in the job, and some of the dads work in hot, sweaty, under-the-sun conditions, working hard just to put food on the table and a roof over your head. Thank your dad for that. So that is your duty as children. Amen? Does that sound like something you can do? I challenge you, young people, to do that. Children, I challenge you to do that, especially not only on Father's Day, not only on this special day, but do it today. Do it today. If you haven't thanked your dad in a long time, if you haven't told him how much you appreciate him, do that today. Tell your daddy how much you care about him and you love him and that you want to be his obedient child. Yeah. Alrighty, we're going to go on to the phase two. Duties of Dads. And that's probably the title of my message. Duties of Dads. Ephesians 4, 1-3. Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, and I'm gonna direct this to the dads this morning. Just remember one thing, dads. Your sons look up to you. At least they should. If you're the dad that you should be, your sons are looking up to you. They admire you. They want to be like you. They want to be strong like you. They want to be like Daddy. They want to be able to drive that tractor, or they want to be able to run that whatever power saw or chainsaw like Daddy does. That's what they're aspiring to. So they're looking to you, dads. They want to be like you. And that is kind of scary. Not scary, but it motivates us to be the daddies that we should be. That's what it does. That's what it should do. It should motivate you. Your sons are following right in your footsteps, whether you know it or not. Because they're looking up to you. At least when they're young. So, Paul is saying to the dads in the Ephesian church, if I may. I don't know. Is that taking it out of... Is that twisting scriptures? No. But he's saying, I want you to be... Walk in a worthy manner of the calling to which you have been called. Dads, you have been called to live a godly life. And I want you to do that, to that calling. I want you to be faithful to that calling as a dad in your home because your children are looking up to you. In Timothy 4:12, it says, be an example of the believer. Your sons are looking at you, dads. And you need to be, I need to be, examples of the believer. And then he breaks it down. What does it mean to be an example of the believer? What does it mean to walk worthy of the calling that we are called to? And he gives several, He lists at least five things there that we are called to do, dads. One is be an example in your speech. Yeah, what we say, what comes out of our mouth is very important. Our sons are listening. Our daughters are listening. I keep saying sons. Our daughters and sons, our children are listening. And they are developing and they are shaping their minds and their thinking and their attitudes toward Christianity. And so they're looking to you, dads. They are developing their concept of God from you, Dad. What are you saying? Is your speech and this acrostic, when I was in the hospital getting admitted, there was this acrostic behind the nurse's desk and it said think. THINK. I'm not going to write it down. But the T was, is it, you're talking about your speech, is it truthful? Am I always speaking the truth? Do I stretch or exaggerate things? Our children pick up on that. The H is it helpful? Is my speech wanting to help a situation? Is it inspiring or uplifting? Our speech should be inspiring others to also serve the Lord. Is it necessary? The N is for necessary. You know, we can say a lot of things and we can be rambling and running at the mouth, we say sometimes. But is it necessary? Is it profitable? Is it kind? The K is for kind. So think. Is it truthful, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and is it kind? Our speech is very important, folks. It's what is coming out of our hearts. Because what is in our hearts will come out in our speech. And so we are training our children. We are helping them to determine what godly speech is. Speech and then in conduct. Fathers, how we act is very important. Are you a man of integrity? Are you a man of your word? Are you honest in business? Do you keep your promises? Or do you waver? Do you flinch? Do you not always keep your word? And I realize there's times where we say we're going to do this and this, and then circumstances happen. And I think that's a given. We can explain that to our child, and our children understand that. But it's when we say something, and then we do not. We intentionally, even though we could have kept our word, we decided not to because of some reason, maybe a selfish reason. Maybe I'm saving face. Maybe I'm whatever. You fill in the blank. We're men of integrity in business, at home. Your conduct. Are you humble? And that's more in your spirit, you know. Humble, an humble spirit. Am I teachable? Or do I always have the last word in a conversation. There's nobody going to tell me what to do. Is that leaving a right impression in your children? Your conduct, you admit when you're wrong. Say, I am wrong. When you're wrong, admit it. You will gain respect to your children. Our conduct, we have a servant's heart. Serving your family. You know, I've seen dads already in the home where they call the shots, they bark out orders. It's kind of insensitive. I don't know if you've been in homes already where you sense that. Where the dad thinks he's king and lord and everybody, life evolves around him and his home. And his wife is his slave and his children are his servants. And you know what I'm saying? Let's have a servant's heart. Let's help with the work. I realize that we come home tired at the end of the day. And yeah, there's a balance to this whole thing. But I'm not going to try and balance it now, okay? Be a servant in your home. Know what's going on. Be on top of it. Do what you can. Engage the children to help mom. Be a servant. Amen? We're teaching our children. Don't let it up to mom, please. Dads, be a servant. We're to be an example in love. Love lives by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do to you. May that be the motto of everyone, every dad's life here this morning. To live by that golden rule, Jesus said. Being kind to others. Treating others like you would want to be treated yourself. You turn the other cheek. You return good for evil. When somebody comes against you, you're not lashing back at them. And believe me, that takes the power and grace of God, doesn't it? When somebody falsely accuses you gives you a bad deal, it's easy to retaliate or to give them a piece of your mind, my mind. Let's return good for evil. Remember, we're teaching our children. We're talking about love here. Love chooses to love unconditionally. No matter what people do and say, I will choose to love. Just how Jesus chose to love you, even when you were going away from Him. Love is a peacemaker, trying to make peace and not pieces. Love is not angry. Love is not a part of a good daddy's life. Pardon me. Anger is not part of a good daddy's life. Anger destroys. Anger wounds our wives. Anger wounds our children. Dads, there's no room for anger in your life. What are you portraying? Are you an angry dad? I trust not. I don't know of any angry dad here at Joy. But I'm lifting it up, in case there is. But we're all faced with it sometime. I don't know that there's ever a man that never was tempted to get angry and get out of hand, out of control. We are tempted sometimes, and we do things in anger that are wrong. And when we get angry, we need to repent of it. Anger is wrong. Anger is sin. And I know we can make excuses and say, you know, be angry and sin not. Come on. Anger is wrong. When we get out of hand and our temper flares, that's wrong. Your children are watching you, folks. Be careful, dads. And I understand from counselors, Christian men, pastors, that anger is a man problem. A lot of men have that problem. more so than ladies. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, let's watch our anger. Let's be careful. Our children are watching us. We're talking about being an example. An example then in speech, conduct, love, and then in faith. And I'm not sure. Yes, I think this faith means having that unwavering connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dads, you need that. Your job description requires a power within you that you don't have of yourself. So you need to be have that connection with the Lord Jesus and being in the Word and being in prayer so that you are fortified to face the duties of your calling. And when you are faced with the tests, you're faced with the problems, you're faced with the temptations, you'll endure because you're connected with the Word, because you have that unwavering faith. When the flood comes and the winds blow, that house is stand because it's built on the rock, and your life is built on the rock, Jesus Christ. And then, lastly, moral purity. Moral purity is something that many a man has fallen from, unfortunately. A man who walks worthy of his calling in this area of moral purity remains true to his marriage vows. You know, if you have a heart after another woman that is not your wife, you have any emotional attachment that should not be there that is breaking your marriage vow, because you vowed to keep yourself only unto her. We're talking about moral purity. We're talking about integrity. A godly dad will flee those situations where he knows that he's not gonna go there. And you know those areas, whether it's walking by that magazine rack or whatever situation, you're not going to go there. You flee those things. You make no provision for the flesh. So we're to be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, moral purity. Getting down to more practical things. And this is nothing new. I'm not bringing you anything new that you don't already know, but I want to lift it up. The love, we're called dads to love our children's mother. That is a tremendous power and a tremendous tool that we have. It brings security. It brings that security to our children to know that dad loves mom. And I'm going to, dads, you treat your wife like a queen. And you care for her. And you're sensitive to her needs. It's not all about you. It's about the family. So, love your children's mother. Seek to meet her needs. Number three. Duties of a dad. He disciples his children. And this is a big one. This is probably a hard one. This is a full-time job, as it were. He disciples his children. He assumes leadership in the home. Dads, I want to just lift that up here this morning to you. I want to challenge you. Are you the leader in your home that God has called you to? You are primarily responsible for your children. It's not the church. It's not the school you send them to. It's not the youth leaders. You are responsible. It's not your wife. Yeah, she's part of it. She's on the team. But you are primarily responsible as a dad to disciple your children. And there's a lot of ways that we can do that. And I'll have time to go in that. But that means reading God's Word to them, explaining God's Word. When you drive down the road, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed, like it says there in Deuteronomy, all those things, all about life. There's many teachable moments that we have with our children. take advantage of those teachable moments. Explain one example. I remember I was probably, I don't know, 4 years old or so, and my dad was talking to a salesman, and they were talking some spiritual things, but he was smoking, a cigarette or something? And then after that man left, I asked my dad, I said, or I made this statement, I said, he talks like a Christian, but he doesn't act like one. He doesn't, because he was smoking. Then my dad used that as a teachable moment in my life, and I said, yeah, Christians, you know, we're not to harm our bodies with cigarettes because that is damaging to our bodies. He went on to teach me. And that's just one little example. There's examples in life that we need to be taking advantage of in teaching our children and discipling them. This is a huge, we could probably talk for hours on discipling your children. But it is very important, folks. And in order to disciple your children, you need to know what's going on in their lives. You need to know where they are. And that takes time. And I can speak out of my own failures. I didn't do enough of that. If I had to do it over again, I think that's one of my weak points that I didn't disciple them like I should have. So, Fathers, take it from me. Dads, take it from me. Disciple your children. Whatever that means to you. Set goals. Make it happen. You make it happen. In Genesis 18, verse 19, God said of Abraham, I've chosen him because I know that he's going to command his children after me. To do righteousness and to do justice. And that word command there doesn't mean that he's just barking out the shots. But that means he's developing a relationship, that he is showing his children the way. At each corner, he is showing the way. And God chose Abraham. He was that man that commanded his children after the Lord. Stay connected with each child. Be there for them. And I heard one man say that he meets with every one of his children. I think it's either once a week or once a month. It's Claire Schnupp, a dear man, missionary to the Indians in the Ontario. He said he meets with every one of his children. I think it's every week. And he had like 4 or 5 children. And that's a challenge. Stay connected. Duties of fathers, duties of the dads, discipline them. And here, be very careful. Someone has said that you could give one spanking to 5 praises. You praise your children. So I know we can go off either side of the ditch here. We can constantly be spanking our children and they feel like they can never please us. And some children understand, need more spankings than others. And I'm not inferring that but when children defy your authority, dads, or you hear that your children are defying their mother's authority, they need a spanking. There's things that children do. Maybe they accidentally spill the milk, or maybe they didn't understand your instructions. That's one thing. But when they clearly know your commands, they clearly know the rules, and they decide to break the rules, yeah, they need a spanking, not in anger. Okay, so you're going to discipline them. You're going to protect them. And I'd like to take you to a picture in the Old Testament. Here was Nehemiah. And it was after the children of Israel were taken into captivity, and they were there for, 400 years? And God put it in the heart of Nehemiah and Ezra and some of those men to go back and rebuild the walls. And so they were there. They started to rebuild the walls. And here comes, what was his name? Sanballat and a couple other men, names there. And they started mocking Nehemiah and all the workers there. And this is what motivated those workers. Listen to this verse. And this is Nehemiah. He's talking to his people. He's talking to the men. He's talking to the dads. He says, remember, the Lord is great and awesome. That's number one. So he's going to help us build this wall. Then he says this. This is the, I like this part. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight. There was a purpose. There was a purpose there. There was a driving force there. That we are vulnerable. Without this wall, every city in that era of time had a wall built around it for protection and safety. But they were vulnerable. They didn't have this wall of protection. My point is, dads, you need to be a protector of your children, your wives, your family. You are called to be protector. You are called to help build the wall. There was places in that wall, there was holes in it. There was gaps in it. And so they went to, Ezra told them, go shore up those first. And this made Sanballat very angry. He said, okay, we're going to go fight them. And this is beautiful. I see this beautiful picture. Number one, I see courage in Nehemiah. I see courage in those men. They did not allow Sanballat and his gang to distract them. They rose up. Dads, we need to rise up to protect. We have a mission. We have a purpose, and it's to protect your families. And so he said, we're going to go and we're going to fight them, Sanballat said. So they rose up in courage. They had teamwork. They worked together. All the dads worked together. They decided, okay, you're going to hold the spear and I'm going to lay the stone. It's a beautiful picture of working together, of teamwork. Maybe we could liken that to moms and dads. Moms and dads, you're a team. You need to team up to protect your children. The dads of this church, we need to team up to protect our families from those outside influences that would want to destroy us. I think this is a beautiful picture. They had purpose. Our children and our wives are threatened. Our homes are threatened. And they were motivated to get this thing done. They were going to get it done by the power and the grace of God. They were circumspect. They were in high alert, you know, code orange or whatever. Believe me, they weren't sleeping. They were watching. They were watching the enemy, and they were ready to do what they had to do. They were willing, folks. The dads back then were willing to get in harm's way. They were willing to get between the enemy and their families. And it's the same for us. Dads, we need to be willing. We need to be sacrificial. We need to be there to protect our families from evil, bad influences. And yes, we do have an enemy. And yes, we need to identify that enemy, folks. We have an enemy, but we also need to identify him and how he wants to overthrow us. Identify the enemy. Put on the armor of God, folks. Fathers, be in the Word. Know what you believe. Get advice from those who fought the battle beforehand. Those older dads. How did you do it? You can ask each other in this situation. How do we best fortify against this enemy? And believe me, the enemy will attack the weakest points, because that's where they were going after. The places in the wall where it was weak, there was holes in that wall, there was places where the wall wasn't very high, that's where the enemy was going to. And another thing they did is he said, okay, if the enemy comes to any of these sections on the wall, blow the trumpet and we're all going to come and we're all going to help you. I like that picture of helping, of teamwork. Yeah. So whatever there was a battle potential starting to rage, they would blow the trumpet and they would get reinforcements. Beautiful picture. Okay, we're to live a life worth imitating. We're to be an example of the believer. We're to love their mother. We're to be disciples. We're to disciple our children. We're to discipline them. We're to protect them. And then lastly, we're to bless our children. something very positive. In the Old Testament, in the Jewish setting, the father always had a blessing for the oldest son, like Isaac blessed Jacob. And this was a ritual that they went through. And it reminds me of several years ago, I heard a man say that he has this in his home, that every so often, and I'm not sure how often he did this, but he would bless his children. And his children always looked forward to that night of blessing. They'd stand in a row, and you could see them coming to their dad for a blessing. And that's such a beautiful thing. And I'm going to lift that up this morning. Dads, you need to bless your children. You know, it's not all about discipline. It's not all about being strict. And yes, we need to be firm. But it's about a relationship. It's about a blessing. It's about making them feel loved. It's about making them feel accepted. It's about making them feel secure. Yeah, and that they're a part of the family. And that you do appreciate. And that they are meeting at least some of your expectations. So, there's several things that should be, that are elements of the blessing. Meaningful touch. When Isaac blessed Jacob, he said, "Come near, son. I want to give you a hug and a kiss." And I know in our culture, my dad never did that. But anyway, but that's what that blessing was. And when Jesus, what did he do to the children when the disciples, they were there, and the people were bringing their children to him so Jesus could bless them? And he said, "Don't forbid the children. Let them come to me." And he says he took them up on his knee, and he touched them, and he blessed them. Folks, that is powerful. I want to challenge you to do that. That's part of that blessing. Is touch your children in a meaningful way. Lay your hand on them, on their shoulder, on their heads. Give them a hug. I think it's very important. It's biblical. A hug or laying on of hands are all a part of the bestowing of the blessing. That hug, that laying your hand on them, communicates warmth, personal acceptance, and affirmation. And then a spoken blessing. Fathers, when the last time you actually spoke intentionally a blessing on your child? You know, words are in the, what does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, I think it says. Something like that. Your words can crush your children, or they can give them life, speak life into them. So, bless your children with words, encouraging words. Project a blessing on their future. Son, Johnny, when you grow older, when you become an adult, I think that God's going to use you in a mighty way. Isn't that beautiful? I think, son, you're going to be a missionary, or you're going to be a whatever. Maybe you're going to be a nurse, a Christian nurse in a faraway land somewhere. Maybe you're going to be a preacher at Joy. Or you're going to be the song leader. Or whatever. You're going to run a Christian business that's going to glorify God and minister to a lot of people. Project a blessing on them. That will make your son want to rise up and do that. Think about their gifts. Help them to develop them. Become a student of those you want to bless. Ask questions about their lives, especially as they get into their adolescent years. You want to know what's going on in their mind, in their hearts. Oh, also someone suggested that you ask them what Bible character they would like to be like when they grow old. You know, going to be like, you know, like Apostle Paul, or are you going to be like, you know, whoever their favorite Bible character is. Maybe Daniel. Wouldn't that be a blessing if you'd be like Daniel? So you're speaking a blessing to them. You're giving them a word picture. You're giving them a person to imitate or be like. So yeah, well, that's all I have. God bless you all. I trust that you were encouraged. And my heart this morning is, I want to lift up these principles. And I'm glad for what I see here at Joy. But let's keep on. Let's get better at what we're doing. Let's try to be better dads than what we've been doing. If the Lord is speaking to you in any of these areas where, yeah, you know what, I should be doing that, I challenge you. Let's together strive to raise our families in a God-honoring way. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Earl, for lifting up a standard of godly fathership. And I'm glad to be a part of a body that wants to be good dads. No, we're not perfect, but if you look into society, I'd rather be with you men than some other men. So keep that up. Keep going. Also thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that has revealed Himself unto us through His Son. And when I look at Jesus and how He died for the church, I was willing to lay down His life. It's a challenge for me to lay down my life for the family. And so, is there anybody that would like to share or add something to the message or some testimony of the week or something that would just edify the body? Up here there's one. Brother Mike has one.
Brother Earl, thank you for that message and the whole service too. Everything was just very encouraging this morning. And Brother Earl, I just want to echo all that you've said and hearty amen. And I received a lot of encouragement as well as some conviction in areas that I see I need to shore up as a father. And I just thank you for that word. It was very meaningful. And I just also want to bless my family, I guess, for the part they play in being a father to them, my children and my wife. They all play their part in making our home what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not just me, even though, we know that, when a father does everything in his power that he can do, they still have a choice in the matter, our wife, our children. So I just bless my family for the choices they've made and the things they're doing to honor me. And I just feel overwhelmed this morning as I consider all those things. It's such a blessing. Fatherhood is an awesome thing. It really is. It's been just an experience that I would not trade for anything else. I thought, sitting here, I mean, how much do I want to say? My heart is full after a message like that. But I thought, about all the different things that my children come to me and they ask for this and they say, won't you do this with me, And I just think of countless things right now that, over even the last, just this year, things that we've talked about and projects they have and they want me to help with this and that. And then there's a daughter who wants to go on a walk and, it's just so enjoyable and yet, sometimes challenging to fit it all in into a day's time or in a week's time. But I, just last evening, my daughter wanted to go on a walk and I said, I'll do that. I had this to do and this to do and I said, I'll do it after that. And so she was waiting. Thought about the keeping our promise, And of course, she didn't let me forget, but we went on a walk and it was so sweet. It was just, if you've done it, how wonderful it is to just spend that time. And as we were walking, then she wanted to see who we could meet in the neighborhood. And, it was not just about being with me. It was also, it's just coming out of her heart. And I see, you get to know them, as you spend time with them. And then there was this lady that was out taking care of her lawn and cleaning up a little bit, and an older lady, and so she said, hey, can we go over and say hi to her? Sure. Sure, let's do that. I don't know where that came from, but, you know, bless God. So we went over there, and I said, okay, you go say hi. So she did. And she said hi. And the lady was very friendly, and we got to, you know another person close to us. And so, I don't know, I'm just very full. I want to quit now. But bless God for, our children. It's just not, they are very precious. They are the treasures that we have here on earth and get to take with us to heaven.
Yeah, Lord, give us wisdom to dig into those moments, and because real meaning to life in moments like that, the rest of the important things that we had to do today just can't compare to connecting with a child or a wife. That we would learn how to make relationships, us men. So, build relationships. Anybody else? John?
I just want to say thank you all for that practical wisdom. So appreciate that coming from an older man that's raised your children and learned so much. Appreciate it very much.
Is there anybody else? Kenny up here?
Yeah, it's been good to be here today, and thank you, Brother Earl, for sharing with us dads. Very encouraging and also challenging, especially as we find ourselves so busy sometimes. It's hard to fit everything in, and by God's grace, we can do the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so thankful today to be a dad. Thankful for the young children I have, and also for my older children and their desire to go into missions and to serve the Lord in other countries and to reach out to those hurting individuals. I truly feel blessed and honored. It is it's a challenge, I know. I'll just share real quickly here. As Jenny came home from Greece and then wants to go again for a whole month, we enjoyed her help for 1 month at home. It was such a blessing to have her and her energy and her, she's just a really good worker. And then to think that she's going again for a whole month, and then Mackenzie's going too. For me as a dad, that was not an easy decision to say, yes, you may go. But the Lord worked on my heart and showed me how important that kingdom work is versus the work that does need to be done at home. But the kingdom work is far more important and what it can do in their hearts for the future. And I just want to reemphasize what Earl said about prayer. And yes, a family that prays together stays together, but also us dads need to be praying about every decision we make and laying it out before the Lord unselfishly. And that's very difficult sometimes when we really feel overwhelmed with what's on our plate already. But if we can lay it out unselfishly and ask God that He would be glorified in those decisions, and he will,
mm-hmm.
He will move our hearts. I know from experience to whatever direction is going to bring Him the most glory and going to benefit our children.
Right.
So, thank you.
Because God has an interest in your children, and He wants to expand their vision, expand their hearts, and so we have to
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not old enough to turn them over to the Lord yet. Yeah, so very good. John?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Brother Earl, for sharing that. That was very powerful. And what stood out to me is how Earl said, you know, the fathers shouldn't be a king in their home. Rather, they should be a servant in their home. And I was just thinking the life of Jesus. Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve. And as we looked at the life of Jesus, everything he did was healing the sick, the blind, the lame, preaching. It was all about others. How many people do you see that serve Jesus? He was the one serving others. And just thinking again, that's the example we as fathers should be. Serving others, not to be served, but to serve others. And I just want to say thank you, Brother Earl. Because I think fathers is one of the foundation pillars God uses in a home. And to, again, just to refocus on where some of the pillars are. And the pillars aren't in being served. The pillars are in serving others the way Christ served others. That is very encouraging, brother. Thank you.
And yet still be a leader. You know, the Lord give us wisdom. I mean, Jesus is the King of Kings, but he served us all. Lord, help us to know how to. Yeah. Very good. Well, bless God. Thank you, Jesus, for establishing your kingdom and doing it here among us. So, all right, let's. Do you have a closing chorus, Roy? Let's stand. We'll have a prayer, and then we'll have a chorus after the prayer. Lord, thank you for the word here this morning. Thank you for those that labored in it. Bless them. Thank you for each family and father that's represented here. May they be encouraged to continue to be a servant and yet to be a leader. Lord, we don't. In our earthly mind, we get them confused. We think it's being king and dictatorial and all that. But Lord, help us to be a servant and yet also chart a course and lift up a standard for the future that that your gospel could be represented in our great-grandchildren. That they would love you and love your kingdom and also be encouraged to lift up your name. Strengthen us as we go our way through our week. Help us to weigh things before the Lord, like Kenny said, that your eternal purposes could be done in our family and in each other's hearts. We pray these things now in the name of Jesus and ask your blessing and peace to go with us. Amen. Of course.